Welcome back to Real Insight Keen, Insights for the Semi-Observant. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 117, THX 1138, or 1138 by figures, 1138 in any case. Well, anyways, back to the episode, everyone. Hope everyone, if you haven't started your time off, you get to enjoy your holidays. If you've already started your vacation, then I hope you're enjoying your time off. So, for this week's episode, I wanted to cover a movie I finally got to see. It's something I probably should have seen a long time ago, but never got around to it. It popped into my mind a few weeks ago with the release of the trailer for Star Wars Episode 7. So I watched it and decided to do an episode on it. So, not too much to go through. It's the usual stuff, so I won't waste too much time blathering on and on. So I'll jump right into the episode. So, THX 1138 released in the United States on March 11th, 1971, with the taglines, "Visit the future where love is the ultimate crime, the future is here, and a love story filmed on location in the 21st century." A summary of the movie, in case you haven't seen it or you want a refresher, is that it is a movie set in the 25th century where the story centers around a man and a woman who rebel against their rigidly controlled society. So, essentially, it is that going through the movie, you see exactly how control is maintained, how everyone is monitored, and exactly what goes on, how this version of the future reality is set up. Overall, I think they did a pretty good job, and I'll go through the episode, and for my conclusion, you'll see how it relates to one other movie in particular. So, I'll have, as always, a link to the IMDb page and Wikipedia articles. The movie has a Rotten Tomato score of 88%, so generally very well received, as far as especially George Lucas's directorial debut film goes. So, worth checking out, even if you, whether or not you like it in the end, it is also overall worth checking out as a movie. So with that, I'll jump right into the insight and how it relates to my favorite movie of all time. So to start it off, what's the training program for the non-Death Star beam control panel? So early on in the movie, we see a control panel for, it's kind of like the back end headquarters monitoring room. And the control panel looks a lot like the same control panel that we see in the first Death Star. And I couldn't help but make note of that being the first parallel we see as far as translation into Star Wars. So I got to thinking exactly how one gets to be on that training program. So there was not much to this scene. We didn't see it too many times after that, but overall, when you see this particular scene, that's the idea that I got, was that I was on the Death Star, or the same type of regulatory agency is probably behind this particular setup. Later on, we get a conversation and we get the general feel for why love is banished, the overall societal control that the government is trying to maintain. And I got to thinking that Jango was actually chosen because the Kaminoans, or the people from Kamino, needed a human who could control their love. So in the movie in THX 1138, it didn't seem, or at least I didn't get the impression that love was something that was controlled from a particular template. Rather, it was a mass societal control that the government was trying to maintain. And it's something that I got the impression wouldn't have been able to be controlled, because it is something that can be variable, it can be more or less depending on the person. So as far as cloning goes on Kamino, they wanted someone who could control their emotions overall, and even if they did love someone, they could keep it in check, and Jango happened to be the bounty hunter who could control his emotions overall. But later on, we get to THX's and I believe it's Lux who were revolting against the system, and how they managed to go, or how they wanted to go about that, their issues with going against the system, how they could get away with it, whether or not they were being monitored. And I realized that the humans of Zion revolted because of a chemical imbalance. And when we, over the course of the movie, we see it start off a little bit slow. It's, I want to say it's medium, and then it varies throughout the movie overall, but all the humans in this movie were controlled because, or at least they were kept in check because of the medications that they were taking, and they were monitored heavily because of the requirements needed to take these medications, and if they didn't take their medications, then they had to be taken in and provided, given enough dosage to maintain that control and balance so that the government can maintain their control, and if anyone didn't take or continued to not take their medication, then they were essentially discarded because they couldn't bring them back to their level of control that was required by the government. So essentially, that I saw that personified more in that revolt in Zion in the Matrix, as far as humans who escaped the system because they were able to see what was going on, and that change in medication, so to speak, that whole metaphorical side of things, allowed for that changed perspective. Later on, I actually, it was one of those things where we see more of reverse psychology, but it was along the lines of good, let your revolt, or so let your dissent flow through you. And this was later on in the White Room scene where I got this impression, where it was the officers who were saying that they're not here to hurt anyone. They're on their side. Don't worry. Don't panic. Things like that. It was a matter of maintaining control. And I saw that kind of translated into the Emperor, where not to that extent, but to that same level of wanting to maintain control and not realizing what's happening until it's too late. But more of that maintaining of control. So just a minor scene here, but another translation. And then finally, we have THX's, or Luz Grand Speedway, and this was actually one of the more intriguing scenes, and it was actually just a random scene that I enjoyed, but it was escape scene of THX's from the system and escaping out into the real world and getting away from the system. And it's actually, we see that he's, or I guess from my impression was that they're underground, but they were in a controlled system of probably a controlled underground system. But I like this scene just because it was him trying to escape and getting away from the system, and it's kind of like a weird Mario Kart level, but overall pretty good. His car overheated, which was the only time I suspected that he might actually get caught. But to me, this was a weird scene just because it seemed like it was all part of his plan, but I wouldn't have figured he knew that it would overheat, so I was a bit confused here, but overall a good scene for his final escape. So I summarized THX 1138 as Star Wars Episode Zero, because we see, or as I'll explain in a sec, but I gave the movie a real score of 100%. It is a bit slower than one would expect. Not much. I mean, there is action, but it's not that kind of action where it's, you know, grand budgetary scale or anything like that, or a major blockbuster performance or anything like that. But it's to the point where we see the movie being the spiritual successor, or predecessor, sorry, to the Star Wars movie. So we have the robots that look a lot like C-3PO. We have the police officers who translate into stormtroopers, a tractor beam, Death Star control panel. We have that kind of room there. And then the overall Empire controlling the Star Wars universe. And then we have the government in THX 1138 controlling everyone's actions. So we see a lot of, or at least I saw a lot of different ideas being translated. I wanted to argue some, or include something along the lines of Sen being the translation, or the predecessor to Jar Jar Binks, because he was a bit goofy. He claimed to know a little bit about how to escape, and the, you know, the inner workings of the system, but I kind of actually probably would have seen this be a split between maybe Obi-Wan's friend from the, or I think it was Dax from Dax's Diner, as far as in back-end knowledge, and not everyone knows, and then the attitude of Jar Jar Binks being split off, so that, and then also the things like Jango being the personality that is not necessarily without love, but being able to maintain love, and the control that it's needed as far as cloning goes, and then even the scene where they have the medication imbalance being added. It could be a scene split into the Empire Strikes Back heat scene for Han Solo, as well as Luke's hand being rebuilt. So a lot of little things here and there throughout the movie that can be translated into Star Wars. So overall, pretty good. The other thing I also liked about the movie, outside of that being a parallel to Star Wars, was that they actually had a couple of references to the cost of having to get or find THX 1138 and bring him in. So they said, it wasn't an exact thing. I think they mentioned a number once, but they did say that currently bringing him in is within their budget of to the system. So bring him in, continue trying to bring him in, but eventually it was outside the cost of the budget, so can't stop going after him unless they find him, or it's something that's not going to cost too much extra. So overall, I actually like that, just because that's something I don't often see in a movie, where they say, okay, well, bringing in this fugitive is going to cost, or is currently within budget, or even say that this is a budgeted amount, we have to bring him in. We just see that we have to bring him in at all costs, so something slightly different. And then finally, the rocket rod style of escape. So there is a ride at Disneyland that was kind of stop and go, that took you through various parts of Disneyland. So I actually found that the escape scene at the end of the movie kind of reminded me of that, because because THX goes throughout the city and the speedway at the end, and it's kind of stop and go, because he's not used to driving, I imagine, or just because that car is overheating, things like that. So I found that it was just an entertaining scene more than it was a dramatic scene, but overall it was well done. So that's really all I wanted to cover for this week's episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, or have insights of your own, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. And of course, if you want to get a great pair of quality headphones and save some money, be sure to visit our friends over at Tweaked Audio. That's geek-io.com/tweaked. Use a promo code GEEK, that's GEEK. If you want to buy yourself a fun, nerdy t-shirt, be sure to find our friends over at TK. The link will be in the show notes. Of course, if you want to have yourself a nice table decoration or desk decoration for work or at home, be sure to check out our friends over at ThinkGeek. All links for sponsors are in the show notes. And of course, if you want to support Real Insight and the Geek.io network of shows, be sure to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/geek.io. Reaching various goals will help remove sponsors and ads from the site, expand the network to add various shows, add more shows, and of course support the hosts of the network as well. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time. And actually, before I close it out, a quick note that we will be off for the next couple of weeks, or at least the next week. We'll return in 2015. Currently, I'm expecting the next episode to be The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, and then we'll go from there for next year, as I get to catch up on movies and that sort of thing. So just a reminder that no episode next week. But as I mentioned earlier, thanks for tuning in, and until next time.